So my favorite chaburas are the one at the Hakdama and the one which is the final sikkum. Because I like making pictures. So the Hakdama is the bigger picture and the sikkum is the picture. The ones in between are like little details along the way. So a few things. Aleph. Seder HaMasefta. The Seder HaMasefta, how the Masefta works. After the first Mishnah, which is from left field, totally. If I'd ask you to pick a Mishnah to start Masefta Shabbos, of course you'd pick a Mishnah to talk about the Lach HaHitzoah. Right, of course. So there's a morale about that. Rehut has a piece of Pach Yitzchak about that. Not getting stuck on that. Good. Next. Starting from the Mishnah Daf Tes, the Seder of the Masechta, instead of going straight to the Malachas, it starts with Erev Shabbos. It starts with the Dinim of Erev Shabbos, going into Shabbos. So at the end of the first parak, there are Nyanim which are in the Geyat to the Sugya, which we're learning now. It talks about starting Bishul and different things, acts of Bishul going into Shabbos, etc. It's interesting enough, that's not the Dinim of Shia, that's not in Reshon Gimel, it's in Reshon Dalet. So we'll have to see those Sugyas also at the end of the first parak for the Mishnah Yud Kes, etc. It deals with other Malachas, starting other malachas going from Erev Shabbos into Shabbos, not only Bishul, but talks about Bishul in that context. Then the second parak deals with lighting the Eris, and then it starts dealing with Allah's Hatmon at the end of the second parak, Hatmon, etc. And then we have this parak. So Rashi learns it's a Hemshech, and that Rashi learns that this Mishnah really is a Hemshech of the Isser of Hatmon. There's no two Isurim. The next parak deals with Hatmon as well. That's how Rashi learns. And you'll see what most Rishonim learn not like Rashi, Tosfos learn not like Rashi. So that's the center of the Masechta. Aleph. Beis, theoretically we should start this with discussing what Bishul is, which really the Gemara over here gets into Bishul, Memam Beis, and that's really its own sugya, the Malach of the Rice of Bishul. The main place you learn the Malach of the Rice of Bishul is the sugya Ayin Dalam and Beis also. Ayin Dalam and Beis, the more it discusses what Bishul is, and that in conjunction with the more Memam Beis and Reiter, you can start getting a feel what the Malach of Bishul is. Is the Chashash over here a Chashash of Bishul? What are we dealing with over here? What are we worried about over here in the sugya? Is the concern a concern of Bishul? Chazal mean geyser otu Bishul, or Chazal mean geyser otu Havora? Shem Yichata, and you're going to be making fires. You're taking these coals which are diminished, and you're bringing them back to flame, and that's the malacha of Bishul, that's the malacha of Havora, not a Bishul. Pasha, the whole sugya seems to be the concern over here really is not Bishul. The concern over here really is Shem Yichata. Now, the Gemara is going to start discussing Machel Madrusoi, Mavusha Kol Tzarchai, Misamah V'Yafaloi, Misamah V'Raloi. So in the context of our sugya, we're not discussing Bishul. We're discussing this Isser of Shem Yichata, this concern of Shem Yichata, and we're saying, at one point are people going to be, excuse the pun, fired up enough to want to be Mechata, right? What's going to be motivate them to be Mechata? Well, it's cooked enough that really it's edible. Well, it's cooked, it can get better. We're not discussing so these terms in our sugya, even though we're using word terms which sound very much like madregas of Bishul, it's not really, we're not discussing the malach of Bishul over here at all yet. That's not the sugya of Bishul. We're discussing over here, at what point will people want to be motivated to be mechata and be over the Isser of Havora? We're not discussing Bishul. That being said, there's a machlokes Rishonim which we're going to see eventually about at what point is this Bishul end? This discussion is the language of the Rishonim is Yesh Bishul Acher Bishul Ein Bishul Acher Bishul. Now we're familiar with that phrase Yesh Bishul Acher Bishul Ein Bishul Acher Bishul. When we get to Shen Yud Ches, we picture it in the terms of something which is fully cooked, which is cooled off, and I'm reheating it. Is that called Bishul? That's how we're familiar with the phrase usually when you talk about Bishul. The Rishonim don't use it like that. The Rishonim, the Ramban, the Rosh, etc., they say once something is cooked to Machel Ben Drusoy, cooking it from Machel Ben Drusoy to beyond is Bishul Acher Bishul. It's ready cooked. You tell me it's called cooked, so anything after that is called cooking. It's Bishul after Bishul. And then you have a shalig, yes, Bishul after Bishul, and Bishul after Bishul. So the Rambam holds that taking something from Machel Ben Drusoy to being fully cooked is Bishul. And the Beis Yosef said, because the Rambam holds yes, Bishul after Bishul. Because if you're in Bishul HaBishul, it's already cooked. The Rambam says in Bishul HaBishul. The Rosh says in Bishul HaBishul. So it's cooked already. Too late. Cooked to Machel Ben Drusoy. It's called cooked. So it's called cooked. So there's nothing to talk about anymore. In Shulchan Aruch, we say we're dealing with Safek Daraisa, because cooking something Machmer the soy to being fully cooked is Machlok Zvishayin. So we're Machmer, that's not even on the table. We have a new shayla. Okay, now it's fully cooked. Reheating it, what's the status of that? So that the Ramos, she is, you know, the Mikra did for Ashkenazim is a Bishalach Mishnah. Okay, but same. So Machmer the soy does play a role in the Sugya of Bishal, that's considered halachically, it's considered cooked. And what's the status of moving something from Machmer the soy to fully cooked is Machlok Zvishayin. But I want to point out that's not the Sugya here. That's, when the more we're here discussing Machmer the soy, that's really not what's under discussion. Over here we're discussing what is the point where a person would be concerned about Shem Yechata. Now, we should ask, why are we only worried about Shem Yechata? Why are we worried about Bishul? So the Rosh says, I'm good. Because I hold this Bishul after Machmer the soy. So the concern of someone who's not cooked in Machmer the soy, yeah, we're worried about you're going to do Bishul, and we're worried about you're going to do... right. So... That's a side discussion. It's not really the way you know in the sugya itself. It seems to be a discussion very much a Shem Yechad. Okay. The more presents a machloikis over here, is the concern shehi or is the concern chazor? Now, if you learn there's a concern of Shia, there's also a concern of Chazara. We'll see as we go through Rishonim that the concern of Shia, which is an act of Erev Shabbos, so the Xeria has to be that we're doing something in Erev Shabbos which will lead to a problem on Shabbos. Right? Chazara is taking place on Shabbos, like most Rishonim. We're talking about doing a Mais on Shabbos, so now that's a whole new ballgame. We're doing a Mais on Shabbos, so we find many gzeiras. The gzeira is what you're doing is perceived by people a certain way, and that's going to create a set of problems. So there's a perception issue. It's not, well, if we do this, you might come to Mechata. It's, well, you do this, it looks like you're doing Bishul. So people will assume Bishul is Mutter, and then they'll do Bishul. So when you're discussing the issue, the concern of Chazora, then the which is an act which a person is doing on Shabbos, there are many actions which Chazal asks to do on Shabbos because people will perceive it incorrectly and draw incorrect conclusions. And what's mutter and what's aser? That's not a gezeira because we might. So I tell you, can't be mechaber. We can't ask the goy to do it because you're afraid you're going to be mechaber yourself. That's a gezeira. You might do a malacha right now. I might be mechata right now. That's one problem. Then there are cases which are allowed because people say, well, if you're allowed to do this, you're allowed to do that. So then the next thing you know, the guy's doing who knows what. Right? So is the problem of Chazora Shem Yechat or is it Metzikim of Bashal? That's very. Whereas by Shehiyah, that's irrelevant. That discussion is irrelevant. Because by Shehiyah, you're not doing anything on Shabbos. I have a pot going from Erev Shabbos into Shabbos. So what's my conclusion? I see a lot of a pot from Erev Shabbos. Okay. So then the example the Mishnah Mora talks about before, I mean, Beis Shammai says no. But for leaving Beis Shammai out. Right? But I want to leave my irrigation system flowing from Erev Shabbos to irrigate my fields. So I see you're watering the fields on Shabbos. So I'm not doing anything on Shabbos. So people see that there's water going into the fields. So the Mishnah says it's mutter. Watering is part of the malacha of either Chareish or Zareya, depending on, you know, what the circumstances are. It's either making the ground roy to use, that's called Chareish, or it's helping the crops grow, which is called Zareya. So it's malacha deraisa. Yeah, but I'm not doing it on Shabbos. What do you want from me? I'm doing a malacha. I set it up Thursday night. Is there a marasign issue? So that's, you know, that's the discussion over there. Why isn't there a marasign? People don't know when you set it up. Right? But I'm not doing it on Shabbos. So I put the pot on the fire on Shabbos. So what do you want from me? Yeah, what I'm worried about is because on Shabbos you're going to see the situation and be mechata because the food's not cooking as quickly as you want it to. So you can't discuss. The problem is people are going to learn new isurim or new heterim. The problem is Shem Yechata. When you're talking about Chazorah, when you're doing a Maisa on Shabbos, it's a whole different ballgame. Now, when we say that the Isser is there's a din of Chazorah, so I want to rephrase that sentence. when we say that there's a din of chazara, and we'll see later on as the Gemara goes on, that there are circumstances where chazara is mutter and circumstances where chazara is aser. The heter is chazara. The lomdus of the heter of chazara is that you're just returning it, as opposed to a new act of nesina. So the flip side of chazara is nesina lechatchila. That's important to understand. The flip side of chazara is nesina lechatchila. You cannot take something and put it on the stove on Shabbos, but something which was on the stove, which all I'm doing is just returning it. Okay, that might be mutter, meeting certain criteria. Why? Because it's just a continuation of the original act, as opposed to a new act. So the issur is nesina lechatchila. The issur is not, you know, we're talking issur chazor. There's no issur chazor. There's a heter chazor, there's an issur nesina. And chazor is a phonym where, when it's just chazor, okay, Beshami says we don't hold a chazor. I'm saying, but if you hold a chazor, we're saying a chazor is mutter, where we're saying that that's a heter. There's no issur of chazor, the issur is nesina. If you don't meet your criteria, what you're doing is not chazor, it's nesina, that's why it's awesome. You cannot take something which is not on the fire on Shabbos before, from beforehand. You cannot take it and put it on Shabbos. Okay, now by Shehiya and by Chazor, we have to ask the question: what a Chazal Aser? The Chazal Aser the Ma'isa, the Chazal Aser the state of being. So by Chazor, which we're saying that the Iser is putting, so it's very tempting to say the Chazal Aser the Ma'isa. So I did the ma'isa, did the ma'isa. So maybe sometimes b'di'avad is mutter, sometimes b'di'avad is not mutter, but what is done, and end of conversation. Right? By Shehiyah, it's a little bit less clear. You know, Chazal don't want this pot on the fire because you're afraid you might be matata. The ma'isa was done erev Shabbos. It wasn't done on Shabbos. So did Chazal ask for the ma'isa putting it on erev Shabbos because you might come and do something wrong on Shabbos? Or Chazal said, we don't want a pot on a fire on Shabbos under these circumstances because it's dangerous. So the issur isn't the putting, the issur is the state of being there. So, you know, so a goy puts on for me Arab Shabbos. Mir l'akum, it's a rabbanon, the truth to shoes. It's irrelevant because the issur isn't the mice. Mir l'akum, and the rabbanon is very nice. You're discussing the issur is the mice. We're not discussing the mice. So I put on a timer. I didn't know the timer did it. Right? Well, that doesn't help me because the issur isn't the ma'isa. So this is putting on a fire. So I have a great idea. I'll put it when the fire is off, and I'll put a timer. The timer should go on after I put it on. So I didn't do anything wrong. Well, it depends. If the issur is the scene, I can argue that. If the issur is being there, it's there. Which Chazal said, we don't want a pot on a fire under these circumstances because you might come to the makata. So what is the issur? Is it the act of putting it there or the act of being there? The Chazal assumes that the issur is the act of being there. And we'll see the Gemara. The question really boils down to: do you have to remove it? Excuse the pun, right? It's there already. I did it. It's done. It's done. So you're going to burn a Gehenna for doing it. You know. They'll put you in Gehenna and Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos. I don't care how they do it. But once you're there, you're there. It's what do you give it taking it off? If you do tshuva, next Shabbos don't do it again. Or no, the issur is being there. So get it out of there. So this issue of the idea of setting up something from beforehand, going and then allowing it to then turn on Shabbos, the Chazanish talked about that case. He says it doesn't. The question is irrelevant because the issur isn't putting; the issur is being. Okay, not everybody agrees with that. So as you go through the sugya, you'll think you'll see that really is an underlying theme which needs to be explained. So, okay. Now, there's Shehiya, there's Chazara, there is the Sugya and Daf, Yutkes and Yutes and Chof, about doing any Malach Erev Shabbos, going into Shabbos. Sometimes Chazal were Matar, sometimes Chazal weren't Matar about concerns, which is, you know, that is how that Sugya interfaces with our Sugya needs to be discussed. And there's also the Isra of Hatmana. So, leaving Rashi aside for a second, let's just define Hatmana, and then we'll see the Chidushim over here in Rashi. So, the word Hatmana means to insulate, to be mountainous, something to hide something, to insulate it. So, very clear the sugyas of Hatmana in the fourth parak, there are very clear criteria of what it means to do Hatmana. If something is only partially concealed, not fully concealed, it's not Hatmana. Hatmana mimics is not Hatmana. Over here, I'm putting a pan on top of the kira. It's not concealed anyway. It's open. The way a kira works, the Mishnah is ever talking about a kira, a kupach, and a taner. So just. A tanner was the place where you'd actually put the pot inside this oven. It was shaped in such a way that it held a lot. It had much more heat than a kira. It was a very small opening on top because the pot was not placed on top. The pot was placed inside, so you can make a very small opening on top to let the smoke out. You keep the heat in, so it was very intense heat. A kira, on the other hand, was actually much more shallow. There was a fire in it, and you would use the kira as the place to put the pot on top. It was more like a stove top than an oven. The taner is an oven, and then the kira is more like a stovetop. You would have a fire source, and you would put the pot on top, so it's much more open. The fire is going to, the heat is going to dissipate, and the kira is placed on top, not inside. The difference between a kira and a kufach is that a kira had two placed for two pots, and a kufach had a place only for one. So the assumption is that a kufach, because it's a little bit smaller, it holds the heat better. If the kira has a more open space, it holds the heat even less. So that's the difference to make in the Mishnayos. But the kira is clear, you're putting the pot on, it's not even inside, it's on top. So where's the hatmana? There's the sheet of the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef learns that even though normally the definition of hatmana is totally insulating it, and when there's actual fire involved, it's a different ballgame. The case of hatmana later on, we're talking about there's no fire involved. The person is taking a person cooks up his pot of soup Erev Shabbos, and he doesn't want to leave the fire going in at the Shabbos. He doesn't really need it. So he takes his soup off right before Shabbos, and he wraps it around in a down blanket. Right, so this way, down is a very good insulator. It's going to keep it warm. He serves it by the suda. He wants to do hatmana. So he's doing hatmana to keep it warm. There's no fire involved over there. The fire is gone. So now the Mishnah differentiates between what types of things you're using to insulate. You're using something with insulation which just maintains the heat. Is mutter an Erev Shabbos? Do hatmana on Shabbos itself is awesome. There's certain materials which generate heat. They generate heat. If you ever go by a compost heap, it's organic material. Eventually, it starts its own reaction and actually generates heat. You can see sometimes steam coming out of it. If you ever go to a large dairy farm, they actually use the manure they use the manure to generate heat. Right? You go by and there's this steam coming out of the manure. It generates its own heat. It's not fire. That's not bishul deraisa. So you're not using esh. Discussion why that's not bishul, but the person would be mapping that thing from even Erev Shabbos is also. Because people say, well, if you can put in a thing which generates heat, you can put it into ashes which have coals in them, shem yichat, etc. So they asked hatmana even with davar mosif hevel, even an Erev Shabbos. The fine must have happened. But now we're discussing a new type of a situation where you're putting it on a fire. So there's an actual fire generating heat. So the sheet of the Shulchan Aruch is that's hatmana even though it's open. There's a din about hatmana even though it's open.
So what's he saying?
So this discussion about something which is open and not open is irrelevant when you're discussing a fire. The Ramah disagrees. Ramah says no, even that situation, it's only at Mona, it's enclosed. As a halachic aside, I want to point out that, but it gets into the moist of heaven. So even though I'm insulating it with something which is normally only the insulator has no power to give heat on its own. If I have a heat source, a fire or electric coils, and I'm matting it in something which normally would be mutter, that's a whole different ballgame. So I leave my blech and I have a fire there, and the pot, I don't want to leave the fire too high. So a great idea. I'll leave the fire on low. I'll leave my pot on top of the blech, and I'll put towels around the pot. Towels are on the moist of heaven. So that's mutter ereshav. Well, now it's a holding wall game, because now it's the towels are helping the fire keep adding heat to the pot. So that's called being not in the moist of heaven. That's also a more common case. Let's say a person has a percolator. Right? There's a heat source in the percolator. There's electric coils. So I like my percolator to be a little bit warmer. So I'm going to wrap it around with. They have these jackets you can put on the percolator to keep it hot. You know, it helps insulate it. So now you're discussing being matmin in a moist of hevel, not in a maimed. Some which is just maintain just as a maimed hevel. It's a moist of hevel. So how much do you need to leave open to say it's not called mutman for Ashkenazim? That you better you ask your local Orthodox rabbi. Okay. So, but Rashi, who's tying in our sugya, the sugya of Hatmana, is saying that even though it's on the Kira and it's open, that this goes under the umbrella of what Chazal asked in the Yasin Hermona. It's a Moist of Hevel, it's fire, it's from Arab Shabbos, even a Moist of Hevel is also even from Arab Shabbos. Why? Gzer, Shemi Yachata. I don't need a new Gzer, this is the regular Gzer of Hatmana. Chais comes along and says, no, this is not Hatmana. It's not surrounded, it's not insulated, it's not protected, it's not covered, it's open to the elements. It's not Hatmana. It's a new Isser. But don't mix it up with the sugya of Hatmana. So who's the Kiddush over here? Rashi or Tosfos? So let's rephrase the question. I'm telling you that Chazal asked Hatmana, they asked Shia, according to some Tanoim, they limited the din of Chazara, they have these Yisurim in the first parak, which are Gzeris of Erev Shabbos going to the Shabbos. Like, why in the world do we need so many different Yisurim? If we can make it down to one Yisurim, so the more before. Rashi's coming up with a Gemara on Lama Dali. The Gemara says, and so what's so bad about that? Now, Rashi over there, which parallels the Rashi over here, Rashi ties the two sugyas together. Pash, just when you're being mapping, but remitz is hot ash, which still has some gecholim in it. And the gzera shemi yechata, so it's the same gzera. Like, so why do we need to make a new gzera? This is that dinner shemi yechata. Pash in the case over there, if I'm you and I'm being matmen in my pot in remitz sheish gechelis, I don't want to be matmen it totally. It's very hard to get it out without being over Yisurim of being of Havora. Even in the case where the Shekhar talks, the remote talks about the case where a person put a pot on the coals directly. So you actually take the pot out, you have to be worried about you're going to affect the coals to Havora. So you're not going to surround it totally. So it's a case of one of the mixes. So what's enough to give it? This high or this high? The pot is here. It's on the bottom or it's around the sides also. It's on one of the mixes. Um, So that's where Rashi's coming from. Tosis is right. This is not a ma'isa about mona. So it's like a totally different type of a ma'isa. Tosis brings rayas that, you know. Okay. So now Tosis deals with the following. The Mishnah comes along and says, so the solution is grufa, yigrufa, or yitin is a efer. So grufa means to shovel, to sweep. You're going to sweep out all the coals. So I got that. You take out all the coals, you definitely get rid of the fire. There's no there's no fire there. Right? There is, you definitely remove this idea that you're being mapped there's a fire. She says, "Aver means you're covering it with ash." So you have active coals over there. You're laying a layer of ash on top of it. Now what? There's still an active heat source there. And the Mora will say in a base or lamachesim on aleph that even a case where it was kitten over the lobster. And again, Mora says on a base you covered it so that for that moment it dulled the coals and they burst back into active flame. So great, you have active coals, nice red coals over here cooking your food or warming your food, and now it's mutter. So Tosfos says that's a moist of heaven. So how do they make it mutter? That's Tosfos' biggest argument at Rashi. So where's Rashi coming from? See, if the goal is you have to be mimayit the temperature, you have to be mimayit the temperature, then how can you say the kitten when he slops is sufficient? Now if the isser is the maisa, okay, you did your maisa. After something changes, who cares? This is the state of being, what you accomplish. So Rashi seems to learn that an act of showing that you do not mind the diminishing of the heat is going to be matter this is Rav Mona. So what's to do this action? Who's the one who's doing this action? So if it has to be the it's my pot, it's my fire, it's my food, and you come to my house and do it for me. Without me asking you. Because all right, Rango forgot to take care of this, he's covering his ash, you know, go back, you know. And he said, I'm gonna do him a favor, I'm gonna cover it with ash. Do we solve the problem? Right? How do we solve the problem over there? So according to Tosfos, this is his new issur. Chazal, we're matter it, you know, with covering with ash. It's one thing. According to Rashi, it's much more challenging. How do we solve that problem? Another issue which we're going to get to. What's the modern version of all of this? What's the modernish version of Yitinus Eifer? We don't have a grief of a situation. Anytime you want to leave something going on the fire, so you don't have a garuf. So what's the other option? Another option, Yitinus Eifer. We don't have that option either. So we, at first glance, have no solution for this. For this issue, if we say that the nekud over here is the Chazal gave specific actions which are going to be matzah, if the point is that the Chazal required an action which indicates your willingness and your desire not to be makata, so maybe we can come up with something equivalent to it. Or you could argue the other direction. Maybe our, you know, it could be Maklal. What we have is doesn't go into Nisar Chazal. There's no Shem Yekat to Maklal nowadays. What Shem Yekat? There's not a Chazal. There's there Shem Yekat. Nowadays, like, where are your Maklal? You might increase the fire. That's a new Gezer. You might add more fuel. Chazal never asked, you might bring more wood. Chazal never asked that. Chazal asked, you can't take that which is there and reignite it. So maybe there's only Shem Yekat nowadays. the whole issue is irrelevant. So when we get to the halacha part of it, we'll have to talk about that. Okay. Next point. The sugya starts here on Lama Baba base. It goes through really. Till Lama Chesem Beis, the second Mishnah. However, there really are two sugyas here. There's the sugya of Shehir and the sugya of Chazor. So the beginning they sort of overlap, but after the Gemara gets past that, the Gemara focuses very much on Shehir until Lama Chesem and Aleph at the bottom. And the Gemara starts saying, okay, if you hold you can be machzir, so let's talk about what Chazor is. It's a freestanding sugya, the dinim of Chazor. What defines what Chazor is mutter, but Chazor is not mutter. And then the next Mishnah goes back to the dinim of Shia. It talks about a Tanner and a Kufach. A Kupach. So to really get the sugya of Shehiyah, which this is the sugya of Shehiyah, you need to get really to see the Gemara until Lama Chesem and Aleph. At the bottom, he's trying to do it quickly, and you can't really discuss the sugya intelligently until you see all of it. Fine. This is because we've shown him the definition of Michael Ben Drusoy. What Rashi says it means shlish bishuloi. The Rambam says it means chati bishuloi. Pashas, even though the sugya of Bishul and the sugya of Shia and Chazor, Bishamach and the soy is two different sugyas. One is else. Chazal are looking at the psychological issue of the motivation of the person to want to be mechata. More than with Chazal, we're discussing what's called bishul. But the shurim are the same. It's the same phrase. The shurim are the same. Whether it's chasi bishul or shlish bishul, that's going to remain the same. The chazish grapples with the practical issue of how you define something which is chasi bishul or shlish bishul. It's a very difficult phrase to understand. So he suggests a formula, which. I can't tell you what the reality whether it works or not. I think certain cases it would seem that it doesn't work like that. So you put a pot on the fire. So till it gets the atzilas, but it's not called cooking. So it takes I don't know X amount of time to get the atzilas though. However you define atzilas though. Right. From that point in time, once you reach the atzilas bowl, till it's fully cooked, which means most people said this will they consider this item fully cooked and ready to eat, it takes an hour. She says shlish b'shulah is 20 minutes, chas b'shulah 30 minutes. Now, it seems to me, without making a real study, that certain foods, if you take them out of a half an hour, they're less than half cooked. Like the major process of cooking seems to sort of like grow on the process, and the last 15 minutes really really cooks it. That seems to me, but that's the formula that he uses. So if I tell you that it's mutter to be mash or something which already has been cooked to Michael and Drusoy, he says very simple. You know the temperature of your oven, you know your temperature you put your stove. If you're putting it in, you know how long it takes to get Michael to get to start being out to let us go. And then you better put it in with enough time before Shabbos to reach this state of 20 minutes or half an hour or whatever the number is. All right. It's a working formula. I don't have any other formula how to do it. Rabbi Frank, what do you use? That's what you use, right? It not necessarily makes sense. No. Okay. But that's what we use. So I've gotten the Shiloh. Person, you know, wasn't thinking, and they, you know, threw in a thing of string beans in right before Shabbos. You know, I mean, you're allowed to eat the food. We hold it. If you did shahia in the case which is also, it's also eat the food. Not only that, is the food becomes muksa, so that it's a major headache because you can't put it in the fridge. You can just throw it. You know, sits there until it gets spoiled and throw it out after Shabbos. So don't do that. But I got to the Shiloh more than once. You know, person, you know, his wife wasn't thinking. She didn't realize what time it was. She threw in this, you know, she's ovated on the food. She threw in an extra thing of, and then he realized, you know, it's only, you know, X minutes before Shabbos. Is the food much to eat or else to eat? There's a mug in a rum that early Shabbos, this issue doesn't apply to early Shabbos. We measure these things by actual Shabbos. Ben Shmosh is a Suffolk already. He's not a Suffolk at the Raisa level. So Pashas, it's measured by Ben Shmosh, not by the end of Ben Shmosh, but the beginning of Ben Shmosh. So there's this one little thing called Yatza lettuce bowl. So that's when cooking starts taking place, at the temperature of Yatza lettuce bowl. How hot is Yatza lettuce bowl? So I would love to be able to tell you an answer to that question. The most the price can give you a range, and we deal with it l'chumra in most cases. That, you know, we were concerned maybe at a certain temperature already, since the yatsa lettuce bowl and the cooking process starts, and we're confident the cooking process has been reached when it reaches a certain temperature. So we give a range. I just want to point out something. So I tell you the number of 120. Rishama Zalman holds the temperature is 113. That doesn't sound very hot, considering that our body temperature is only 98. 15 degrees above our body temperature is the outside lettuce bowl. So that sounds, you know, he already eats kosher at the temperature of about 113, 115. He says 43 is remember the number, what it was. It's what comes out to be like 113. So I just want to tell you, this is like, excuse the science over here. I once had a fascinating experience. I took a Talmud who was having major headache issues to a pain therapist. And this person had done tremendous work, and the training was able to take this focus, the mind, to certain things, and control bodily functions with mind focus. A non-Jewish woman. So I took him to this. So the first thing she did was she put a thermometer on his skin to show him what is the skin temperature of a person's skin. It's about 70 degrees. The internal temperature is 98.6. Your skin temperature is much less than that. And she trained him, and in one session he was able to actually raise the temperature of his skin. And we did it with a thermometer. By the end of the session, he was able to raise the temperature of his skin. He was mind focused to focus blood flow, which is involuntary, into his hands. His hands now were warmer. So that was fascinating to me, B'chol. But I said, the knowledge that the standard skin temperature is 70 degrees was fascinating to me. That's why you put your hands in something which is more than 80 degrees. It's so warm. Why is it warm? You're 98.6. It should feel cold. So from 70, which is your normal temperature, to 113, it's 43 degrees. Of course, it's potentially Yatza lettuce bowl. So I just want to understand what we're talking about. Yatza lettuce bowl is, they say there's 120. Like 120 Yatza lettuce bowl. Well, yeah, 120 is the outside lettuce bowl. If you put your
mikveh that's hotter than 105,
you can't go into it. Right. Like, which sounds like strange, right? But the answer is because you're not discussing 98.6, which is only 7 degrees. You're discussing it's 35 degrees hotter than your body temperature, than your skin temperature. Except if you're not the European, you're Shigid. You know, I don't know, they come different. They also drink like hot, you know, hot tea, you know, like 212 degrees, like this. Also, so you know, they're a different breed. So, so I want you to understand that when they discuss the numbers, Moshe says the range is between 120 and 160. So the lowest range, he says, before under 120, we have to assume it's not Yatzel Edesbo, so you have no dinner of Yatzel Edesbo. Once we're 120 already, so I'm going to take something on Shabbos, and I'm going to heat it to 120, I'm getting near the Eshor Bishol already, after Mount. I know it was cooked already, because it was reached before Shabbos reached 160. Which 120? I don't know if it's called Yatzel Edesbo. There is a chayotah which introduces a din of Yad Nichves Bo that's not relevant to our sugya. So relevant to the sugya is a bishul. There's a temperature which is way beyond that. We create a temperature which even in a cliche it could cook. That's not our sugya right now, so I'm not going to get involved in that. Okay. I think that's everything I wanted to cover. And as we'll go on, we'll get involved in the nitty-gritties of the sugya. Okay.